Let's listen to Danny Lakey and turn it up to the ceiling. Everything could go so wrong, but you'll be so happy. It's Danny Lakey, yeah. It's Danny
right across
Lakey.
Australia, this is the Danny Lakey Show.
It's Danny Lakey.
Well, as we know, legal precedence is everything. Turns out if you sneak into a stranger's bedroom and watch them sleep and then they wake up, as long as you're dressed in fishnet stockings and a G-string and you tell the lawyers and the judge that you thought it was just a panda, apparently you get off scot-free. Move along. Nothing to see here. Just a delusional sex pest who thought he was looking at a rare Chinese animal eating bamboo. That's in the podcast anyway. It'll make more sense then. A man has been labelled un-Australian after getting a Southern Cross tattoo removed from his back. So beware. If you want to do the ultimate Aussie act, make sure you don't backtrack. Otherwise, the internet will tar you for it. Phrases four became two. I won't bury the lead. I won't ruin the ending. You'll have to listen to that. But first things first, Sweden's first female prime minister, Magdalena Andersson, resigns on day one. Oh, no. Magdalena Andersson becomes Sweden's first female prime minister. She became it on Wednesday, but within 12 hours, she had dramatically resigned. She quit. In a bizarre twist, the 54-year-old was forced to resign less than 12 hours after scoring the top job when her coalition spectacularly unravelled, plunging the government into chaos. The Social Democrats win. Oh, she's a SoDem. Based on a vote amongst MPs, was formally announced on Wednesday to a standing ovation from colleagues. A monumental day in the Swedish political system. But on day one, things began to fall apart after Miss Anderson's coalition partner quit and her budget failed to pass, with Sweden's parliament instead adopting the budget of the opposition. That's not good. I mean, I'm no political scientist, but that doesn't sound good. I've told the Speaker that I wish to resign, Miss Andersson told the media within hours of her history-making victory. However, she stressed that she planned to score the prime ministership again in the future on her own terms and not as part of a coalition. Yeah, good. Magdalena will be back, but for now we say farewell. 12 hours. It's a quick quit. 133353, how quickly did you quit? Magdalena Andersson's 12-hour prime ministerial role reminds me a lot of myself back when I was 15, when I worked at KFC for 72 hours and then sensationally quit on the Monday.
The power of the Colonel compels you!
I remember it well. It was my second ever job that I'd scored, and I was really excited because I've always been a fan of the Colonel, and I was 15 or 16. I remember being really, really keen to work. There's some kids who are like 15, 16, they really just want to go in and get a part-time job. I remember thinking, oh my God, like, why isn't everyone doing this? Why aren't all my school friends trying to get jobs? I was really keen. I'd worked at Domino's. I'd done about probably 8 months in the Domino's game, and it was time for a bit of a step up in the industry. And I got the job and I was really excited. I had these grand visions of being at the cash register, or like making Zinger combos and whatnot. They put me out the back frying the chicken. And it's quite a lonely job out there. It's kind of like the real shit kicker job for the youngest kid in the KFC crew. And because I couldn't stand the texture of flour, and I know this sounds soft, but I cannot stand the fine, porous texture of flour. So I'm back there coating wet chicken in the Colonel's 11 herbs and spices, getting my fingers are all floury. Every single time I'm putting chicken in, I'm getting these shivers down my back like I'm scraping a chalkboard. Poor old 15-year-old me had to do 3 12-hour shifts over a long weekend from open till close. I made a lot of money. I think it was about $472 for the whole long weekend, which was big back then. That was big.
Lakey, that was like huge back then.
We're talking big 2000. We're talking grade 10, 2004 baller money back then. And it was a tough weekend. I hated every single second of it. And on the Monday, I brought my uniform to school and I knew the bus ride home, I had to stop off at KFC and tell the manager that I just couldn't do it anymore. In hindsight, I look back and I should have just been honest. Like, hey, look, this weird little quirk I've got, can't stand the feeling of flour. Any chance I can be put on checkout because I'd really continue working here. But at the time, it was this massive deal. Anyway, quit after 72 hours. Sensational. How quickly did you quit? On 133353. Obviously, jobs are a big one. You rock up to the job, you think, no, you know what, this isn't for me. Did you walk out halfway through the first shift? Sometimes that's the best time to quit because you haven't signed all the paperwork yet or you haven't done your orientation. You're like, I don't even think half the people here know my name yet. I can just walk out.
Like, just a quick one. On the KFC thing, you didn't think about wearing gloves? I mean, I know your love for KFC goes very, very deep. Yeah. Zinger deep.
And the power of the Colonel, it does.
The power compels of the Colonel compels me. compels you.
It wouldn't have been a bad idea. Like I said, I think I was just 15, young and dumb. It doesn't really make any sense in my head now, but I remember at the time just thinking, oh God, no, this cannot last. This cannot fly. 133 53. How quick do you quit? Doesn't have to be a job, I guess. Could be a marriage. Do you have any short marriages? The second you put a ring and go, oh, actually, no, this changes everything now. That kind of thing. Maybe a social sport. You're trying to be cool. You join the social netball team or something. You realise you suck after one quarter. You just go walk about.
What about online dating? You know how you hook up on Hinge or Tinder and you get to the date and you think, okay, this is just a drink. And you're like, I got to get out of here.
Absolutely. Halfway through, one drink, first date. When'd you quit? Brian in Auburnvale. Hello.
G'day, Danny. Sorry to hear you're leaving us next year, mate.
Yeah, I quit this. Nah. No, nothing but love for Triple M, and it's a good opportunity for me. So I thank you for that. But you quit yourself at one point.
Good to hear. Yes, I did, mate. I was given it. Well, I applied for a job, got it on a Friday. My mate called me on a Saturday and said, hey, I need you to do a job. Yeah. And it was $5 an hour more. So I called the other bloke up and said, sorry, mate, I quit.
Sorry. You're not going to believe it. I've already got a promotion before I even started this job. I'm in demand, unfortunately.
That's the way it goes.
That's the way it does go. Sally in Melbourne, you had a quit.
Yeah. Mm. Hi. I was working in a childcare centre and all I was actually doing was changing nappies one after the other. And it went for like 6 hours and I turned around and walked out.
Yes, good. Sometimes the walk says more than the mouth.
Yeah.
I quit. I didn't sign up for this. I wanted a little bit of playtime. I wanted to feed the kids. I wanted to teach them a few things. I've got a lot to give. I'm not just wiping crack for 6 hours.
Yeah, oh, terrible.
Oh, I don't blame you. Matt in Seaford, you quickly quit.
I did about half a day doing door-to-door sales for some gym place, I don't know. And I had a mate text me saying he was my boss and he needed me to come into my other job. So I just left that one.
Yeah, good.
Halfway through the day.
Sounds like another high-in-demand person. And shout out to all the door-to-door sales people out there. I don't even know if that's still a thing anymore, but far out. I've done a couple of those in my time. I'm still an Ozstar door-to-door. One of the worst jobs. You've got to have a real thick skin because people just look at you like you're a monster. What are you doing on my property? Okay. Job in Sydney.
John. John. Okay. How are you, Danny?
Good.
Sorry, that was my fault. I named that the wrong way.
I'll take that, mate. That's a great name. Job.
Oh. Sorry, mate.
All right. Job, here's John.
Job.
Yeah.
My first ever job was at Macca's at George Street, Sydney, 6 p.m. start. Mm. Getting hammered. I was on the grill, plastic gloves and all. And about 45 minutes into it, I decided to have a rest. And I put my hand on the grill with a glove on. And screamed my head off. The general manager came over and actually flipped my hand out off the grill, and I've actually walked out. Got home by 8:30 in time for the Dallas episode that night, I think.
Yeah, silver linings. Yeah, don't even bother paying me for the hour and a half. Manager just comes along, uses that little spatula to get your hand off. It's a hole in 10-1, guys. The cook's gone. Vin.
Yes.
Hello.
Good evening.
Good evening. Last call. Wrap this up. You quit quickly?
Yes, I quit smoking cigarettes after reading a book in 2 days.
Oh, great. That was...
And I haven't smoked a cigarette for 14 years now.
Wow. How long... Sorry, was the smoking career only 2 days or it took you 2 days to quit?
No, it took me 2 days. So I read this book by Alan Carr, Easy Way to Quit Smoking.
Oh, right.
I think it actually hypnotizes you. Okay. It's self... Yeah. Anyone looking to quit cigarettes, good book to read.
How long were you smoking for?
Maybe 10 years.
Okay, yeah. That's a bit different. I quit after 2 days. It was easy as.
4 phrases left. 2 go home to wherever phrases live. That'd be right here, actually. The Danny Lakey Show. Top 32 phrases of the year. Semi-finals.
Phrases. Me with your phrase. Phrases.
What is a fairy's phone book, for God's sake?
4 phrases left. Semi-final night on the Danny Lakey Show. The phrases that have come so far. What a journey it's been on 2021. Tomorrow night for the final show. How fitting that it will also be the grand final of Phrase Tuesday. But first, the semi-finals need to be settled. When thinking long and hard about how four will go into two, you have to think, who's been there from the start? Who's invested in these phrases? Who's heard the phrases all year? Who's followed the dossier? Who's got strong thoughts, strong feelings? You can't have a tainted jury. Not at this stage. Not on my watch. There's only one person.
I'm getting a little tired of all the sex.
Jenny the juror.
Hello, Danny.
What a great honour it is to not only be bestowed upon you, but also bestowed upon us. There is no one better than the voice of sweet Jenny the juror to divide four into two. Now, Jenny, I want you to think very carefully about these decisions because it affects lives and it affects livelihoods.
Yes.
Semi-final number one. What is the more superior phrase? Is it?
More excuses than a pregnant nun.
Or?
Useless as a G-rated porno movie.
Two very X-rated phrases. One to do with pornography. One to do with the nunnery. But only one can go through to the final. Please do not hold prejudice. May the best phrase go through.
Can you repeat them again, please?
Yes.
More excuses than a pregnant nun.
Or?
Useless as a G-rated porno movie.
Useless as a G-rated porn movie.
What a phrase! And the nun's knocked down. I repeat, the nun is knocked down. It's useless as a G-rated porno movie is through to the grand final tomorrow night. How very special. A lot of controversy surrounding that decision. If those who remember cast their mind back a few weeks ago, this was a phrase that got in last minute during the Last Chance Saloon from a Victorian during the Queensland's opportunity time to call. One final semi-final for you, Juror Jenny.
Yes.
What is the superior phrase out of?
Tight as a fish's ass.
Versus?
Higher than a hippie at Woodstock.
I ask you to remain impartial to the people saying the phrases. Do not side with agenda. This is purely phrase decision only. As tight as a fish's ass, that's tight. Or higher than a hippie at Woodstock, that's high.
Tighter than a fish's ass.
What a phrase! And there we have it. The two grand finalists. Through to tomorrow night. The jury has spoken. G-rated pornos and tight fish's assholes. Sports bet already. Wow, you can't separate them. They're $1.90 each. The line's at 0.5 either way. Jenny, thank you for your service. We'll speak to you a little
thank
later
you.
On in the night. Great power comes great responsibility. There you have it. The two top phrases in the nation tomorrow night. We're taking votes all night.
Danny Lakey on Triple M.
Bloke branded un-Australian for getting Southern Cross tattoo removed. Come on. Man has been called un-Australian for getting a tattoo of the Southern Cross removed. The unnamed bloke was seen sitting in a tattoo removalist chair getting one hell of an inking scrubbed from his back. Not only did the artwork feature the constellation that's been immortalised on our national flag, but it also included a beverage-drinking kangaroo and an emu wearing a hat with corks on the end. Yeah, as far as tattoos go, pretty goddamn Australian if you ask me. But it's this incredible image that's asking many people why you'd want to get it removed. Loads of people were screaming in the comments section that this act was un-Australian. I mean, at least he got it for a little bit. Like that's more Australian than I think most of the people in the comments section. You don't have to be 180% Australian for 100% of the time. And then the second you're like, oh, actually, I think this probably looks a bit stupid. Actually, I've got like a wife and kids and I'm trying to go for this professional job. I don't know. I just, every time I look at it, it sort of gives me the wisdom. Nah, mate, it's there now. If you were to get rid of that, that's un-Australian. I mean, you've been bloody Australian for a very long time. But all that hard work will come undone if you get this removed. un-Australian. No, he doesn't have to. He doesn't have to have it forever. You didn't buy Russell Coit a beer when you saw him at the pub that time. That's a bit un-Australian, don't you think? You sold your Hulls hoist on Gumtree, did you? Un-Australian. You bought Marmite, did you? Instead of Dick Smith's Promite, that's bloody un-Australian. I bet the only bloke who's more Australian than this bloke who's getting his SoCo tat removed is the guy who did the tattoo, the tattoo artist himself. I bet he's Aussie as hell. I think we've got a little bit of audio of his shop, actually.
Oh, g'day, welcome to Big Daz's Aussie Tattoo Service. Only tattoos that represent Aussie culture. If not, you can get the fuck out.
Oh, hi. I was just having a look at tattoos. I was maybe thinking of a swan or a starling.
Oh, swan for sure.
Really? Is that more realistic on the skin?
Nah, the black swan, the official bird of WA. It reeks of Australia. I can do it now for you if you want.
What the jiminy heck? Okay. You only live once, am I right?
Yeah, exactly. Everyone says that to make themselves feel better about getting a tattoo. It almost ensures them that even if the tat looks like absolute dog shit, you can't live life with regrets. Even though the flip side of that would be living a life literally without any shit tattoo regrets. But I don't tell them that. Bad for business.
Right. So just a small, subtle swan on my lower back, please.
Oh, shit. Wish you'd said that before I started this massive, not-so-subtle swan on your upper back. That's cool. You're an AFL fan? I'll just do a little Sydney Swans logo for free down the bottom as well.
Oh, and if you could just have the swan looking like it's going to fly.
Oh, shit. Wish you'd said that before I drew this swan dressed up in tradie pants with his fly undone and his swan penis poking out.
What?
Oh, gee. I'll just tidy up his peen and make it look like a beer tap instead. VB, pour it into a schooner glass. Epic touch-up, Dazza.
Oh, my God. Can you at least get his wings right?
Yeah, one step ahead of you. Wingspan on point, and he's winding his right one back because he's just about to king hit a Ford fan at Bathurst. Australia, all done.
Oh my God.
Take a look.
Is that a clown holding a penis?
Nah, that's Pauline with a Bunnings snag. You don't want me to just lay on a Centrelink logo as well, do you?
The Danny Lakey Show Catch Up Podcast.
Here is the best headline of the week. I thought woman in bed was a giant panda, says homeless ex-lawyer dressed in fishnets and G-string who crept into bedroom. Oh, wow. One of the great headlines. An Irish lawyer who sneaked into a woman's bedroom wearing stockings and a purple G-string has been cleared by a jury after he explained he believed the woman was a huge panda. Oh. Panda defence. Who's this Irish lawyer's lawyer? Former high-flying lawyer Desmond Moran. Desmond Moran, oh, how the mighty have fallen, who hails from Tipperary, said he had taken so many drugs that he thought the woman was a bear. Jurors at Southwark Crown Court heard yesterday that the woman had been sleeping in her bed when she awoke to see the Irish-born lawyer. Why do they keep saying Irish-born lawyer? He's just a man. He's just a man now. Standing in the doorway whilst wearing the stockings and a G-string. Yeah, higher than a hippie at Woodstock, I believe. A jury cleared him of trespassing after just 30 minutes of deliberation. Yeah, if the stockings fit, you must acquit. The woman said that she was shouting at Mr. Moran, but he didn't respond. When she looked closely at him, she realised he wasn't wearing trousers or a jacket. Is she visually impaired or was it dark? Because I feel that's the first thing that I'd notice if someone was in my bedroom. When he went to the window, she said, and turned around, I could see his bottom. I think he had a G-string on. Yeah, I could see his cheeks. But come to think of it, I couldn't see his crack or hole. I think it must have been a G-string now, come to think of it. When the police arrived, they found Mr. Moran in the basement of the block of flats. He was still in his fishnet stockings and G-string when police arrived. Of course! When you find a good pair of fishnets and a nice G-bag, you don't just throw them away willy-nilly. In his subsequent police interview, he claimed that he went into the block of flats to get a bed for the night. I honestly didn't see a woman on the bed. I honestly thought it was a big panda bear in the bed. That's what it looked like to me. And this is, we got the best headline of the week. This is the best quote of the year. I'd taken some drugs, but I'm pretty certain that's what I saw. I didn't see any woman. Was she under the panda? This is a guy hell-bent in his drug-fueled psychosis. There was a panda. I mean, I know I was on crack cocaine, but there must have been a panda. So you were high as a kite. I know what I saw. The panda was winking at me, for goodness sake. The panda's lucky that I didn't crawl into bed with them. Come on, mate. Easy there. Danny Lakey.
Triple M.